This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 23rd of November, 2021. So we finally have it out of the way. The nomination news for Fed Chair, of course, Powell getting the nod for a second term, Brainard to be promoted to Vice Chair. And let's, we'll get through the market reaction, but for the moment, I want to highlight that today we have a webinar from you, Ole, and later this week from you, Peter. So folks can sign up on that. Tell us more about what you'll be talking about today, Ole.
Well, most certainly some of the things that we're also going to talk about a little bit later in this podcast. Gold and crude oil got some interesting times ahead of them. We've seen that slap down in gold overnight. We've seen crude oil being torn between potentially additional supplies and OPEC plus response. And also, just generally, there's a lot of stuff going on in commodities. We'll also take a look at some of the key agricultural markets, which remains on a very firm footing. So plenty to get around. So we'll start here at 12 o'clock noon. So you can sign up at webinars.saxo and then Peter will join in on Thursday, Peter.
Yeah, it will be the usual suspects that I'll be talking about. So general equity market valuations, earnings, a little bit of what's going on with Meta and the metaverse. It's driving a lot of action, but also electric vehicle stocks. It seems to be the two major themes right now in equities. I'll try to prepare people for what could go wrong and what's really driving these things.
Yeah, interesting with the Rivian news. We'll get to that a bit later. Let's go through first of what happened yesterday. So, of course, as mentioned, Powell getting a nod for a renomination. And it was kind of interesting in the statement that was sent out by President Biden's office, as it almost looked like they were being co-announced or announced as sort of co-chairs in some of the wording. I think some of that is some spin doctoring around the political messaging, because obviously there are many in the Democratic Party that wanted to see Brainard to get the nod. She is to be promoted to vice chair, assuming that confirmation goes through. But some noted that the role she will get is not some sort of trumped up supervisory role, bank supervision role that was one of the ideas that was floated in the event that she was not to become the next Fed chair. So at the margin, I guess maybe that was seen as risk positive. I was really scratching my head around the equity market reaction to this when I saw what the bond market was doing. And finally, it started to make more sense when we got to that equity market sell-off later in the session. But first of all, let's look at what happened in the So the Fed expectations and what happened in the U.S. yield curve, because I think that's very interesting to pull apart. Also, to what degree was this simply getting this nomination news out of the way and then reacting to what it wanted to react to anyway, which has been the more hawkish shift of the Fed anyway, and Clarida's talk on Friday, et cetera, that we already mentioned. But regardless, you can see on slide 5 in today's slide deck that I put up the September 2022 Eurodollar short-term interest rate future. You can see that we priced in several more basis points, arguably about 10 more basis points is where we are than we were a couple of days ago for how high the Fed funds rate will be next year. But you can see at the longer end of the curve, yields are higher, but it's still pretty well anchored out at the long end of the curve. What's your take, Altea, on here and on this nomination news and what you're seeing, and also those bond auctions or treasury auctions yesterday?
Well, John, I believe that it doesn't really make a difference whether Powell or Brainard is going to be heading the Federal Reserve, in the meaning that obviously if Biden was picking Brainard, it would have meant that we would have seen low interest rates for longer, but the outcome would have been the same. At a certain point, inflation expectations would have accelerated, and the Federal Reserve would have needed to taper faster and hike interest rates more aggressively. So the choice of Biden was clearly anti-inflation. He obviously chose that inflation is current matters that needs to have the Federal Reserve focus. And that's how the market reacted. Indeed, in slide number 6, you see the yield curve, the spread between the 30 years and the 5 years yields. And you can see that yesterday we have seen a bear flattening of the yield curve, and I can expect the yield curve to continue to bear flatten if interest rates hike expectations continue to advance as they are, at the beginning of October, we were looking at two interest rate hikes, and now we are looking for 2022, and now we are basically close to three for next year. But still, I think that this topic is not yet ended, because Biden still needs to nominate three Federal Reserve members, and is supposed to do that by the end of December. And at that point, we will know more whether the tilt of the Federal Reserve for next year is going to be more or less dovish.
All right. And then you were highlighting in the internal meeting this morning the political situation in Europe also heating up here with we were still waiting for this German coalition news. Is there some anticipation you were seeing around this being announced very soon?
Well, there were news yesterday about Germany to hold a press conference this morning at 11 a.m. And the speculations are for an announcement of the new government formed by a traffic light coalition, so Greens, FDP and SPDs. If that's true, and we have any hint of more fiscal spending and better European integration, we could see bond yields resuming their rise. Right now, yesterday they closed at minus 0.30%. However, they can accelerate their rise. The only factor right now that is compressing them is this rise in COVID-19 cases. However, once that we have the new coalition, we have also partly resolved the lack of collateral in or demand of collateral in the European Union at the beginning of next year, well, I would assume that we will see European sovereign yields resuming their rise. But most interesting, yesterday, 10-year BTPs have accelerated their losses. We have seen yields rising roughly 10 basis points to 0.95%. The news behind that is that Mattarella, the president of Italy, said that his job will be over in a few weeks, and there is a political interest for Draghi to take on that role because he would head towards new election. Obviously, the reaction to the market to that news will be very negative, and we would see BTP bond spreads widening, because without Draghi, well, we don't know who's going to be next, and the agenda to go towards better European integration and reduce debt, we don't know if it's going to stick with the new government.
Key points there, and very interesting political situation shaping up in Europe, especially around whether the LDP's Lindner gets that finance ministry post, as is the expectations, and then his stance on fiscal expansiveness or not going into next year, together with the Italian situation you mentioned. So very interesting year shaping up, not to mention the French presidential election in the spring. All right, let's wind back to the equity market reaction. I was saying I was scratching my head a bit because we did see the entire U.S. yield curve lifting. We've talked up so much the yield sensitivity of so many sectors, especially the speculative sectors of the market. So we got what we can, I would argue is quite clear and quite dramatic climax reversal yesterday. Look at that NASDAQ 100 chart on slide 3, or just pull up your daily candles there. I mean, that is a climax candle reversal if I've ever seen one, at least for now. So the question will be, of course, how deep this cuts, how much will this only be linked to further rises in U.S. yields? But a pretty dramatic day, I think you would agree, Peter, yesterday.
It was a dramatic day. We were up 1.2% at the high, and then we retreated 2.3% from that high, and we closed very, very closely to those lows for the session, and we're just continuing down today with interest rates going high. You just sense a shift in sentiment, and as you can see on slide 3 on the theme baskets, it was driven by all the growth pockets, and that also caused a more than 4% move in the ARK Innovation Fund. So Cathie Wood, I'll talk a little bit about that in a few seconds, but I want to highlight the big read from FT this morning, because the move we got in the NASDAQ was obviously driven by these interest rate sensitivity. It is a big theme. And if we continue and go high and try to test those highs from late March, early April on the 10-year in the US, I think it's going to be super interesting in equities very, very quickly. But the reaction yesterday, John, was also on the backdrop of a very, you could say a Tesla stock that was stuck in the mud. It had a big range from the high to the lows, but it closed very, close to that open on this session. So it was not a, it was not Tesla that was driving the price action there. And the big read in the FT is just interesting because it, the whole option market around Tesla, and it's just so enormous. It's bigger than the combined option activity in the FTSE 100, multiple times more than Euro Stoxx 50. And it's just such an enormous, important stock for overall sentiment in the stock market simply because of the option market activity. And I think it's one of those stocks that we need to watch today, that if Tesla gives after to the pressure that we have seen, I mean, it could actually carry the risk off even further. So watch ARK Innovation, watch Tesla this session. Also watch Zoom Video. They reported earnings after the close. The shares were down 6%. The investors were clearly not happy with the guidance, despite it was actually a tad above expectation. And then, of course, big move in commodity prices. Ole can tell you about that on iron ore. So watch BHP Group, Rio Tinto, and some of the dry bulk carriers in Europe and the US today, because that was a big move in iron ore.
All right. And then, of course, your earnings overview there on slide 12. And before I get to you, Ola, I just want to briefly highlight. So we saw the dollar stronger yesterday, and some of that reaction is sticking through this morning. But if we look at where we are with a dollar yen, the very yield sensitive U.S. longer yield, especially sensitive dollar yen, we did break higher above 115. That break is somewhat in doubt this morning. I think we do need to see the longer end of the U.S. yield curve lifting off to achieve a more significant rally and extension higher in that particular pair. And then looking at other themes for today. So it's about whether, of course, the dollar yield move sticks, the dollar itself move sticks. And we have a key central bank meeting up tonight, the RBNZ, where they're expected to hike 25 basis points, a significant minority looking for a 50 basis point move. And the guidance is very important there because of how much is priced in next year. We have 100 plus basis points priced in well within a year from the current 0.5% policy rate level. And as I highlight on slide 9, you can see an interesting backup in Aussie Kiwi, one of the better ways to look at sort of Kiwi, not involved in the big dollar cross, et cetera. And I think some of that driven by the slight sentiment shift on China with feeling that we're about to be headed for some easing or stimulus out of China, as well specific news leading to a big boost in the iron ore price has helped the Australian dollar relative to Kiwi, even though the yield differential between those two with the still dovish RBA relative to the quite hawkish RBNZ has extended to new extremes of the cycle recently. So a very interesting and pivotal meeting for New Zealand tonight with that move. All right, now I'm giving you a short shrift by coming to you so late, Ola, but we saw some huge reactions to the Powell nomination, especially in precious metals, a huge dump in that gold price, I suppose, of course, linked to U.S. yields. But what's your take on that and what's going on in the commodity space here?
Well, as we highlighted yesterday after the recent release of the weekend release of the cut report, we were worried about gold yesterday because basically we've seen a tripling in the gold long from hedge funds during the past few weeks, basically leaving them exposed should we break below that 1835 level. And that's obviously what happened yesterday as yields rose and the dollar rose as well. So this move is, you can almost potentially argue it's an outsized move considering the movements we've seen elsewhere. And the short-term direction really is just really driven by the extent to which these longs still need to be reduced. So I think today much really depends on whether we can hold this 1800 level. That's a 50% retracement of the rally we had since early October. If you do break, then there could be another $20, but perhaps to the downside. So it is a classic situation of a market where the positions get too elevated, where the market becomes too one-sided, and we're suffering the consequence of that. What we have to look at now is clearly that there's been quite a few rate hikes priced into the market already. So if there's any easing on those expectations, then that obviously could add some support. But in the short term, we will see the market be back on the defensive while we get these positions reduced to levels which are more manageable. But another market where we also got fireworks going on is in the oil market, because even though the price action is not really indicating it, we got a two-way battle now, which potentially could be released today. We are seeing reports that the U.S. government, ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, is preparing for a coordinated SPR release to be announced later today. But into the mix, we had OPEC Plus comments yesterday saying that if adding extra barrels now is not justified by the current market conditions, and they may consider reducing future rates, future production hikes. So that leaves us back at square one potentially. So really, we need to look out for the size of the release, but also the response from OPEC. And we have to remember that we've dropped 10% already, given on the back of this speculation that there will be releases. So so potentially the downside risk is limited, unless we continue to see this COVID-19 situation continue to evolve. We're also seeing states in the US now starting to get impacted. So that needs to be watched as well. But look out for 77.85 to the downside in Brent. That is the July high. That's also where we found support yesterday. If we do break that, then we could potentially move back, down towards the mid-70s, where we're going to find the uptrend from the lows last year.
Yeah, and if there's ever an opportunity for President Biden to get risk getting some egg on his face, it's with a speech he is set to deliver today. And I have this overview of all the macro events up for today, including that speech on slide 13. So 1900 GMT, if my time is right there, where he'll be speaking, quote, on the economy and lowering prices for the American people. There has been some talks of trying to address the you know, supply chain issues and ports, especially potentially having the National Guard in there driving containers around, I suppose. But that would give, of course, with an SPR release on the table, that would seem to be the forum in which to announce it. So if that proves to be the bottom, the oil price, it would certainly be some egg on Mr. Biden's, President Biden's face with that speech. But an important one for where the market is, of course, for oil, if nothing else. And then we have all the flash PMIs for manufacturing and services out of Europe this morning. Some of these coming out even as we're speaking here for the UK and for the US later, although the US one is not followed as closely as some of the other ones. That RBNZ meeting, as we mentioned tonight, and then tomorrow the big ones are the US PC inflation data points. How is the market dealing with this move higher in yields, and does it stick through that data point, as well as the FOMC minutes, which could get a sense of how hot, heated the debate is on their guidance within the voting members of the Fed. So that'll be an interesting one as well. And all the time, keeping in mind that we have a U.S. holiday week with most people off Thursday and Friday, but nominally markets only completely closed on Thursday in the U.S. All right. It feels like a lot of energy has been ejected into markets here, especially into the equity market after that, arguably a climax reversal. So keep that in mind. Stay careful out there. And we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.